Okay. So first we'll chant Jai Radha Madhava. This is actually a longer presentation of something I did before the GBC, because on the GBC body, we have translations in the back or what? Okay. So in the GBC body, we usually explain to our other members what we've accomplished and what's being done in our zones. And my zones are quite widespread, you know, all over the world. And Fiji Island is one of the areas that I'm responsible for. And so I thought this would be enlivening for everyone to see. Dynamic preaching. I'm not saying that I do dynamic preaching, but we've engaged the devotees in doing dynamic preaching and so many devotees being made. Of course, we have one devotee here from Fiji. She's not in the temple room. Her name is Braja Prem. And trying to encourage her to go back to Fiji, but she's probably watching this on the internet. So now we'll talk about the preaching that's going on in the Fiji Islands. And the Fiji Islands, let's show you a picture of the Fiji Islands. There are a group of different islands in the South Pacific, and you're all invited to visit. It's only in the opposite side of the world, so it's not a real problem to get there. So the Fiji Yatra was started by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who was basically changing planes in the main city where the airport is. It's called Nandi. And Prabhupada was met by one of my godbrothers, whose name was Vasudev Prabhu, who has since then passed away. And Prabhupada asked him, are there any Krishna temples here? And Vasudev said, no. And Prabhupada said, build one. So, you know, the potency of the pure devotee, because the success potency of Krishna is built into the words of Krishna's pure devotee. So if the pure devotee says, do it, it can be done. One time I was with Prabhupada, and this was in Los Angeles, famous story. And Prabhupada said to us, you have to make sure you can print 17 books in 2 months. You know, Prabhupada was ahead of us in the translation, and I was working for the BBT at that time. And the devotee said to Prabhupada, impossible. And Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So this is a devotee's determination. And what Prabhupada did by coming to the Western world was impossible. An old man, of course I shouldn't say old man because I'm older now, but a senior person, that's a better way to put it, senior person coming without any money, without any means of support, and hoping to start a whole Krishna consciousness movement. That's amazing. And Prabhupada did it. In 10 years, the Krishna consciousness movement spread all over the world. So that shows the potency of Srila Prabhupada's desire and, of course, Lord Chaitanya's desire. Well, wind. You have tornadoes here, too. So Fiji is a very small population-wise country and shows you what can be done when you really concentrate your energy in one particular place. The total population is much less than Slovenia. It's 936,000, but we have 10,000 members of ISKCON. Now, what's the population of Slovenia?
2 million.
2 million. Okay, it's roughly about twice. So there would have to be 20,000 members of ISKCON here to do that proportionally, and 4,000 initiated devotees, and we would be sending devotees all over the world to help with the temples, because there's over 1,000 Fiji devotees in Australia, New Zealand, and some of the United States that are actually taking care of the deity worship in many temples. Very, very enthusiastic devotees. So, anyway. So, in Fiji, there's many different religions, and the Hindus are only like 33% of the country. Whoops. Didn't want to do that one. So, let me turn the sound off because I can make sound myself. So we're going to talk about the different temples that have been started there. This is the original temple. This temple was started and inaugurated by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And this was basically one of the only temples in ISKCON in Fiji when I came there, in addition to one small temple in one of the islands. And I came to Fiji in about 1999, and in 1981, the previous GBC of Fiji was Srila Tamal Krishnamurti. He left this world. And so somehow or other, by Krishna's arrangement, he asked me to take over, and he didn't know he was going to leave this world. So this particular temple, here you see all the different temples we have here. And these are major temples in a country of 930-some-odd thousand. So this is, anyway, you can see on up there. Now we're going to start with the first temple that Srila Prabhupada established. Srila Prabhupada told us that Krishna sent the Kaliya serpent to Fiji after he kicked the heads of the Kaliya serpent in Braj. I think most of you know that story, right? Krishna danced on the heads of the Kaliya serpent. So Prabhupada said we should install the deities of Kaliya Krishna. And here you see a picture of Kaliya Krishna, the deities there. These are the Nagapatnis. Everyone's heard of Nagapatnis? The four, I guess like mermaid type of ladies. You know what a mermaid is here? A mermaid is like half fish, half lady. You don't have too many of them here. So they were the wives of the, they are the wives of the Kaliya serpent. The Kaliya serpent is still said to exist in Fiji. In fact, when the devotees first came to Fiji, they showed pictures from the Bhagavatam of the Kaliya serpent to the natives. And the natives immediately identified the Kaliya serpent as one of their deities, the person that they worshipped. And so many devotees have gone there to try to find the Kaliya serpent. We also have Radha Govinda deities there. And in addition, Sri Sri Gaur Nittai and Srila Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We get many guests from around the world who come to Fiji and preach Krishna consciousness. One of them is very famous. His name is Dina Bandhu. Anyone's heard of Dina Bandhu before? Anyone who's been to Vrindavan will know. He's like the tour guide who takes everybody around Vrindavan and the whole Braj area. And Fiji is famous for one other thing, for many things. The devotees are famous for their cooking. And here you see Dina Bandhu in ecstasy. Eat a normal breakfast, I guess. I've had occasions where they made 2,000 preparations for me. So you're all invited to come, because it's better than the Sunday feast here, isn't it? How many preparations do you have here?
Three.
Three? I'm embarrassed. So this was like 2,000. Well, this is during my birthday's Vyas Puja celebration, but on a normal day, they'll cook for me like 20 or 30 preparations. And so he's in ecstasy. And the devotees love to serve. The way the devotees have been trained up is to serve Vaishnavas, because they've understood, under the instructions of Tamal Krishnamurti and to a certain degree myself, that by serving Vaishnavas you make spiritual advancement, you please Krishna. As stated, even by Krishna, one who says he is my devotee is not my devotee, but one who says he is a devotee of my devotee is my devotee. So that's from the Adi Purana. And even Lord Shiva says the same thing. He says the best type of worship is Krishna, our worship of Krishna, and even better than that is worship of Krishna's devotee. So here's what goes on at the temple. Many, many different activities. We have Harinam and book distribution. And this is another famous devotee. This is our Sankirtan minister for ISKCON at large. His name is Vijay. I don't know if he's ever been here.
Yes.
Has he come here? He travels around the world encouraging people to distribute books. And we distribute books to all religions, all races there. And he's training the devotees. He has trained up the devotees. Different programs. We go to the villages, what they call there the jungle. Because it's a tropical island, so it's many places are like jungles. Of course, fortunately, there's no snakes there. And so the devotees go house to house with Harinam and home programs, Harinam programs. This is another jungle the devotees are going into. More home programs and Harinam on the street. This is all in one city. And this is a happy family that's received some of Srila Prabhupada's books, Vijay distributing some other books, and another Harinam. The people there love Harinam. We distribute literally thousands of plates of prasadam every week. Plates of prasadam every week. You see how many devotees we have up in the crowded streets, and everybody's taking prasadam and taking Srila Prabhupada's books. And we also have a Guru Kul there, so we take care of our youth. Here we see some of the youth who have attended the Guru Kula. That's at the Krishna Kali. This is just one temple. As I said before, we have at least 6, 7, 8 different yatras there. And they do different plays. This is a play based upon the Ramayana. Everyone's heard of the Ramayana? Ramayana is the story of Lord Ram and Sita and Ravan and Kumbhakarna and all those nice people. And Hanuman. Forgot about Hanuman. Here's Hanuman there in the corner. You see him? And so we have this amazing festival called Ram Vijay, Vijay Dashami, in which we erect a giant effigy of Ravan. Ravan is a character who had 10 heads, and he was killed by Lord Ram. And the devotees shoot their arrows at this effigy and create a big bonfire. Here's our friend Ravan. 10 heads. And Hanuman is fighting him. And our expert bowmen, Ram and Lakshman, of course, these are actors. And so the next yatra, which is really close by, which is in the city where the airport is called Nandi. So here you see the map, you see where Lotoka is, and then you go to Nandi, which is right below it. And there our deities are Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra Maharani. And they take these deities out in Rath Yatra. We have Radha Krishna deities there, small Radha Krishna deities, and Gornatai deities. And these deities all come out for Harinam Sankirtan. So the Krishna Conscious Activity, this is just another yatra that's only 30 minutes away from the first yatra or first temple we just showed you. Can you imagine how dense the population of devotees is in Fiji? And there we have Harinam Sankirtan, house-to-house programs, free food programs, school programs, a restaurant, Rath Yatra festivals, and here you see some of our Harinam Sankirtan festivals. We started in 2013, and all of our members came from the Harinam Sankirtan festival. Many, many house to program. These devotees who you see in these pictures all joined within the last 10 years. Of course, this is our newest area, newest what we call yatra or preaching area. It's all within the last 10 years. There's free food distribution in all the markets. And the pots that they cook in there are actually so big that any of you could jump in the pots. And there'd be room for your friend, too, in the pot. So they have to use like big paddles to cook in the pots. And of course, there's many benefits to the food distribution. And people are very happy to take this food. We also distribute food during the whenever there's a natural disaster, because sometimes we're subjected to what they call cyclones, what you may call hurricanes here or whatever you call here. And so we're very famous for that. And actually, we interact with the government in many different ways. So we've only been doing this for 10 years in this particular location. Each Saturday we feed 2,000 people at the markets. And we have open house programs at night where visitors and devotees join us. We go to all the schools in the area, and even Muslim schools, Hindu schools, Christian schools, and get people to chant the holy names. You know, it's a very open society. So this is a very interesting statement here. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's main reason for suggesting Prabhupada to preach was that Prabhupada was young and energetic scholar. So the purpose of going to these schools is to motivate our younger generation to take up Krishna consciousness. And then we have an amazing Krishna conscious restaurant there. Of course, here you have two restaurants, right? And so many Ratha Yatra festivals. Several times a year we do Ratha Yatra there. So we have, in this Yatra, which is the latest, the newest Yatra, we have 300 devotees, and 200 of those are initiated, all within the last 10 years. And we have congregational devotees of more than 1,000 there, and these congregational devotees are also chanting, but they're not yet initiated. So recently we had the largest initiation in the South Pacific. So many new devotees were joining. 40 devotees got initiated at the same time. So we had to have four fire sacrifices simultaneous going on, all in the same location. So it's very dynamic, as you see. It's very inspiring. So all right, let's quickly go to the next temple, which is also a newer temple that was, I think this temple was started in 2008 or something like that. I forget when we opened the temple. This is in a city called Singhatoka. So you see how close these cities are. I mean, these cities are within a half an hour drive of each other. Now, Singhatoka is about 45 minutes from Nandi. And this temple is built on a hill overlooking the city. Quite a large temple. This temple is actually very unique. The deities are Radha Damodar, beautiful deities. And the temple is a museum. This is in a tourist city. So the temple is elaborately decorated. Not only that, there are figures, what we call doll museum, where the various pastimes of Krishna are exhibited. Here you see a pastime called the Damodar pastime. The Damodar pastime is a pastime of Krishna, where Krishna's mother, Yashoda Mayi, got very upset with Krishna because Krishna had broken some butter pots, and that's because Krishna was very upset with Krishna's mother, with his mother, because she had neglected him. Or he thought that she had neglected him. And so Krishna was tied up to a grinding mortar after Yashoda Mayi chased after Krishna. And by Krishna's mercy, allowed himself to be tied up by her. And then there's this whole story of Manigriva and Nalakuvera. Here she is tying up Krishna with a rope. When she tried to tie up Krishna with a rope, the rope was always like 2 inches too short. And she kept adding more and more and more rope from the house. And it was always 2 inches too short until Krishna agreed to be tied up. And then these two personalities, Manigriva and Nalakuvera, who had become trees, became liberated. Of course, they were cursed to become trees because, as you see, they were bathing without any clothes. And this great sage, Narada Muni, came upon them and cursed them to become trees and teach them a lesson. So in this temple, I'll explain why it's a very unique temple in a second, we have quite a bit of monthly Harinam and free prasadam distribution. This temple is run pretty much exclusively by ladies, which is unique in Indian culture. So what I've tried to establish there in Fiji is more of a openness to, let's say, allowing everybody, regardless of gender or regardless of any other national origin, having opportunities to serve Krishna. and whatever way they can according to their innate capacities. This is very important. So this proves that Krishna consciousness is not chauvinistic in any way. And Prabhupada himself was very open and allowed ladies to do any service that they were able to do. You know, preaching, managing. So these two ladies started the temple, the two ladies here in the middle, they started the temple, and you just see one token man or two token men there. Sometimes we allow men to visit the temple. No, not really. That's a joke. They allow me to come too. So, this one of the ladies who started the temple is a doctor. Oh, here she is, right in the corner. This is one, and this is one of the other ladies. One of the ladies is a doctor, and she actually built the temple. 80% of the temple was built with the money from her income. Multi-story temple, and they distribute quite a few books, people's homes. They don't just sit in the temple and worship the deities. They go out and they distribute books. They care for the native people who are there. Go into the schools and preach to the native people. So quite an impressive yatra and quite an impressive service these ladies have done. The next temple we'll go to is called the Radha Goloka Bihari Temple, which is a temple that I helped. I did not build it myself with my hands, but I worked on. And this temple was established, I think, in 2004 in Suva, Fiji. Suva is the capital. Suva is over here on like the right-hand corner of the bigger or the lower island here. And we have the deity installation. And actually, 2004, I was right. And so it's a massive, massive temple. And there we've established the deities of Ashisha Gornatai, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, and Radha Golokbihari, Lalita, and Vishaka. Beautiful deities. And for the installation, we had several sannyasis come, His Holiness Vedavyas Priyamaraj, and Bhakti Churu Maharaj. Some of you may know Bhakti Churu Maharaj. Of course, he passed away a number of years ago. Actually, not too many years ago. And then the deities of Sita, Ram, Lakshman, and Hanuman. Most of the Indian population there, they know about the Ramayana more than they know about Krishna. And so it's our business to teach them about Krishna, and how Lord Ram and Krishna are the same person. And here's more pictures of the deities. And we have amazing Harinam Sankirtan there. In addition, we provide food during natural disasters. Here you see the devotees cooking, distributing food. And we have full course lunch programs for everybody who comes. We distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Not only during Harinam, we go to all the schools in this particular area. And many of the schools they use Srila Prabhupada's books is actually textbooks. So the temple organizes regular Harinam programs every week and distribute a lot of prasadam to people. In addition, we also have a Sunday school here for the children. We've realized that taking care of the children is practically one of our most important activities because the children are our future. Very, very important. And actually, there's been many studies that religious societies or spiritual societies that don't care for their youth cease to exist. So this is most important activity. And many different festivals. Here you see the devotees doing Abhishek, plays. We have a program to take care of old people. This devotee is named Bhagavati Mataji. She was actually she is the wife of Vasudev, who passed away and we assign devotees to take care of the old people. We celebrate Gita Jayanti, to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. And we're one of the tops in what's called the Live to Give campaign, which is a worldwide campaign to distribute Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita's. And Fiji, I think, distributed almost as much as the whole continent of Australia did. You know, you can look at the worldwide map. The devotees are very enthusiastic to distribute books to everyone, regardless of race or culture or whatever. Here you see a happy native there. So Fiji is divided, maybe 70% of the country, 70 or maybe 60% of the country is the native Fijians. Native Fijians, many years ago, used to eat people. Not since I've been there. But there's interesting stories that Fiji was originally called the Cannibal Islands. Cannibals means people who eat other people. So the first ministers or priests who went there got eaten by the people. In fact, there's an interesting story that because the people there, the natives, had never seen anyone with shoes before, they actually thought the shoes were part of the body, and they cooked the shoes along with the person. They just thought that was a tougher part of the body to eat. So, but this whole country has been transformed, and these people who were previously, you know, the descendants of people who were previously cannibals are now taking to Krishna consciousness. We have several disciples amongst the native Fijians there. And they're very enthusiastic. And sometimes when a guest comes to the temple, we'll have some of our native Fijian devotees dress up with war paint. I wish I had a picture of that right now. But that war paint and just like welcome the person with the traditional Fiji welcome. And it's quite impressive. We also have schools, just like you have a school here in Ljubljana for training up people. We have a school called the Spiritual Science Studies Center for Higher Education and Learning. And we have regular classes going on teaching people to become leaders and preachers in Krishna consciousness and educators in ISKCON. And quite a large attendance, you see. These are all new people. This is one of the primary methods we have of cultivating people in Krishna consciousness. Many of our new devotees are very highly placed in society. There are many doctors. We probably have about 8 or 10 doctors who are devotees. And lawyers, members of parliament who are devotees. And many of them come through this educational process. So you see that. Large amount of people attending the different seminars. These are all in different halls there in the capital city. Very, very impressive program. So education is very important because in this way we attract people who can be future leaders in the Krishna consciousness movement. There's Vijay again, our friend, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Devotees getting ready to go on Harinam. And then we're also meeting regularly with government officials. Here's the Prime Minister of the country who is perusing or studying Srila Prabhupada's books. His name is Rambuka. Now, it sounds like a native name, doesn't it? Rambuka. So he's a very nice man, and he's a Methodist, but at the same time, he's very favorable to Krishna consciousness, and the country is really multiracial, multi-religious country. So he has most of the members of his staff are actually Indian-based. Here's the finance minister of the country who is receiving a Bhagavad Gita. The finance minister is the number two person in the country. Also in this place, we go to many different schools and present Krishna consciousness to the young people, get people chanting. In addition to the young people, we actually give classes to the teachers. not only on Krishna consciousness, but on ethics and morality, you know, Vedic-based ethics and morality. So we have a lot to offer in Krishna consciousness, not just that we chant Hare Krishna, not that we just talk how we're not the body, but we can actually present people a complete package of ethics, morality, structure of society, according to their own culture. And so we're very much appreciated for taking these leading roles in society. So Prabhupada wanted that. Prabhupada actually wanted devotees to take not only leading roles in society, but become the guides of the leaders of society. Prabhupada was once asked if he wanted to be president of the United States. Of course, that wouldn't be possible. But Prabhupada said no, he wanted to be the advisor. So devotees should be seen. That's why it's very important that devotees are educated to be seen as advisors to government officials and people who are leaders in society. I remember many, many years ago when I was coming here to Slovenia that I would visit your previous was president or prime minister, Dinorsik. Everyone remember him? And it was quite enlivening. He would regularly eat prasadam. He was being cultivated by the devotees like Mrigendra and other people. And meeting with him was like meeting a devotee. We were talking about the world situation. I was talking about the world situation with him, how he was frustrated with most of the world leaders who he considered to be rascals, and how he was a vegetarian. I mean, so many things we discussed. We discussed Krishna consciousness in a very deep way. And so this is the role that devotees should take in society, to be leaders of society. And so more preaching programs, and more preaching programs. And this is also in the same place. Whoops, that's the same picture we had, pretty similar. There's another devotee presenting a certificate to the prime minister, and one of the ambassadors nearby, and myself meeting the finance minister, who was actually very favorable. He comes to our temple and presenting him a Bhagavad Gita. We do many many activities at the largest university in the South Pacific, which is called the University of the South Pacific, and people come from all the other island countries around there. Many of the other island countries are actually quite primitive. In some of the countries, one of the countries is called Papua New Guinea. And in this country, they actually blow poison darts at people still. So you have to be very careful. Many of the places we've gone have been quite dangerous. Of course, I haven't been to Papua New Guinea, but Vedavyas Priya Maharaj, my dear godbrother, goes there sometime to preach Krishna consciousness. So Fiji is the most civilized of all the islands there in the South Pacific. And but many places, as we preach Krishna consciousness, many places are extremely dangerous. In the old days, I used to go to South America. And being an American in those days was very, U.S. citizen was very dangerous at that time, because they thought we were all CIA agents. So, but Krishna always protects his devotees. So we have weekly programs at the University of South Pacific, Friday night kirtans, a timeless wisdom series we do there, and weekly Harinams at the University of South Pacific, where we distribute halva, books, and do a Harinam. Then in addition, this is all in the city of Suva. We're not finished yet. And we participate in the book distribution campaigns. One is called the Bhadra campaign. And we actually distributed quite a bit. In 2022, we did 1,283 Bhagavad Gitas, and that's quite a bit in that particular area. Then right close by, about 20 minutes away, there's another center where we have Radha Krishna deities, actually Gurantai and Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, which is in Nasori, which is a small town. See Suva there and Nasori right above it. And this is our main altar, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Gurantai. And we engage in tremendous amount of prasadam distribution there. See how enthusiastic the devotees are in Harinam? The crowded marketplaces, crowded shops. Outreach program, there's one of our leaders, his name is Vishwanath, who does most of the preaching there. And Harinam Kirtan. Then we go to another island, which is called, the island is called Vanu Leva, but the city is called Lambasa. You pronounce the B like an M, MB or something like that. And there we have a Radha Krishna temple, a Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra, you see there on the left, and Srila Prabhupada. There's a full temple there. And that's all the way up there, you see on the top, in the Vanu Levu Island. We actually have preaching going on in all these smaller places too, but I don't have the pictures of them right now. In this place called Taviuni, which is right to the right, and Savu Savu, which we'll visit in a second, we have major centers. And this we have the Nityananda Temple. It's called Lambasa Nityananda Temple, and there's the beautiful deities of Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra. And of course, Srila Prabhupada. And we have massive programs there. We probably have over 1,000 devotees just in this one location. And here they are doing an Abhishek for one of our festivals, a Sunday love feast, and devotees doing preaching programs. So many devotees there. And tremendous amount of prasadam distribution. And Harinam Sankirtan, Gurukula, we'll show you in a second, another Gurukula there. And so many young people joining. We have so many devotees who have taken initiation at 12, 13, 14 years of age. And they remain fixed because the families are actually very strong there. One interesting thing about these traditional places where the families are strong is when one person in a family becomes a devotee, you get everybody. You know, one equals 20. And equals the whole village, basically. The whole village becomes devotees. I mean, it's pretty amazing. Because Krishna consciousness is one thing about people who come from India, because the Indian populace in Fiji originally came from India. They were brought by the British as what we call indentured servants. Well, I'll explain what that means. That means the British needed people to work the sugarcane fields. So they told the people in India, particularly in a province called Bihar, that if you come, then we'll give you free passage, and you just have to work for a certain number of years. Of course, the British treated them very badly. And so these people came many, many years ago, and they're descendants of the original settlers in Fiji. And the interesting thing is that Krishna consciousness is in their hearts. It's just a question of waking them up. Prabhupada said that sometimes I haven't experienced this, but Prabhupada says sometimes to wake people up from India is harder than waking up the Western people, because many people from India, particularly in America, are pretending to be asleep. So it's harder to wake someone up who is pretending to be asleep than the Western people who are actually sleeping. But basically, people from India are naturally Krishna conscious. Even people who come from a Muslim background have this natural Krishna consciousness in them. For example, many years ago, there was this cereal, a television cereal, not something you eat, but there was a television cereal. I got to be careful about that. Television cereal means, like, you see one episode, you see another episode, you know, many, many hundreds of episodes on the Ramayana. And the whole country of India is shut down. You know, whether you're Muslims, whether you're Christians, whether you're Jewish, whatever. They all shut down while they were playing this on the TV. So there's natural Krishna consciousness in their hearts. There's also natural Krishna consciousness in our hearts, too. People from the West. That's why when we come in contact with some pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, we naturally wake up. I mean, what happened, my whole experience, the way I came to Krishna consciousness was that I was just an innocent demon one day. And listening, not too demoniac, but I'm hippie. So I was listening to the radio just thinking, let me listen to some sense grab music. Sense grab music is just whatever, you know, folk, rock, whatever. And all of a sudden I heard Prabhupada chanting. And just by hearing Prabhupada chanting for a few minutes, of course I recorded it, that changed my whole life. Ramanda Brahmate Kona Bhagyuan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Latabish. When one is wandering in this material universe, as all of us are, when we come in contact with a pure devotee and get this creeper or the seed of the creeper of devotion implanted in our hearts, it changes our whole consciousness. And those who are devotees here, I mean, everybody is fortunately here, you'll experience that when you hear the holy names chanted purely. And so everybody is a devotee. It's just that some people have not realized it yet. I like to see everybody like that. I don't like to see in terms of devotees and non-devotees, or sometimes devotees use the term karmis. I don't like that word. Because everyone's a devotee, and Prabhupada saw it like that. Prabhupada dealt with everybody as if they were aspiring devotees. So anyway, so that's what we've experienced in Fiji. You just expose people to the holy name, and people naturally join. You give people prasadam, the holy name, they learn the philosophy, there's more drama. Here's the drama that went on. Also in this place called Lambasa, the Ramayana. They are all devotees of Lord Ram there, because they've been brought up hearing a particular version of the Ramayana called the Tulsidas Ramayana, which is called the Ramacharitamanasas. And they all know the stories from the Ramayana, and they're enthralled with the Ramayana. And we have many, many initiation ceremonies there, as you see here. And the last yatra we're going to visit is in a far-off tip of the same island. It's called Iskan Savu Savu. That's definitely a native name. And here it is, right here, Savu Savu. And it's a beautiful place. This will entice all of you to visit us, in addition to the prasadam. This is what Fiji looks like. It's tropical. The weather is basically good all the time. The food is amazing. The devotees cook. The hospitality is amazing. You're all invited to come. All expenses paid, except we won't pay your plane fare. But you come and we'll treat you like, you know, like honored guests. One of the famous devotees from here, some of you may remember him, Gargamuni. Everybody remembers Gargamuni? Some of you may remember Gargamuni. We brought Gargamuni many years ago. Of course, he passed away a few years ago, but to Fiji. And he loved it there. He was in ecstasy, preaching, everyone loved him. When he left this world, the devotees, I mean the whole island, all the devotees, thousands of devotees were in mourning because he was so well loved there. So anyone who wants to come and help us with his preaching service of Srila Prabhupada, or to learn about Krishna consciousness, please, you're invited to come. It'd be very exciting. Even if you would just come for a short time, you don't require a visa. Tourist visas are completely free, practically from any country in the world. And this is our Lambasa Yatra. This is just a tiny, tiny, tiny little city. I mean, this city, perhaps you only have, oh, probably a few hundred people living. And this is the devotee population there. And this is our Harinam there. And when we go there, sometimes we let our hair down and play the guitar. The interesting thing is that Many people think, you know, guitar, Western instruments won't be appreciated in the Indian culture, but they like it just as much as the Western people do. And we have these amazing kirtans there with a guitar and different instruments, and I'm having many of the devotees learn how to play the bass guitar so they can accompany me. And just amazing, amazing. The devotees love to dance and chant and take prasadam. Simply amazing. Here's Dina Bandhu enjoying life there in Fiji, too. He really had a good time. So please come. You're all invited. So that's the Fiji presentation. And Joe's showing you how Srila Prabhupada's movement is being expanded in one tiny corner of the creation and how it's possible to spread Krishna consciousness everywhere with that same determination. We put our attention to it, and we actually are open to different people doing different things according to their culture, and I don't want to say being liberal, but just being very open to people and loving with people, and how fast our movement can expand everywhere, here in Slovenia and elsewhere. So any questions or comments? Anyone want to come? Okay, you got a lot of people. Rishesvari was there. Did you like it? She wants to go back. Someday. Okay.
Thank you for this nice presentation. It's amazing how fast this movement is going there.
Yeah.
I'm interested also in this, each yatas they cooperate between, or they visit each yata.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of cooperation, but we allow a lot of autonomy. So it's not that things aren't really centralized there. It's more or less that every yacht maintains itself and sets its own priorities. And of course, I supervise the spiritual standards of each place. Obviously, the deity worship is very important. Our deity worship minister, Nishinga Kavacha, who you may know or may not know, he's visited there and helped with the deity worship. He's come here too, or no? Yes? No?
No.
Anyway, he's a very nice devotee. He's from Australia. And so, yes, there's cooperation, and sometimes we have festivals. We all go to the beach together. It's a nice way to have festivals, isn't it? And anyway, it's just a very loving atmosphere in Fiji. And that's what I try to instill in the devotees.
I noticed that almost in every yata they have this free prasadam distribution.
Yes.
In large quantities.
Yeah.
It's amazing how they arrange and distribute.
Well, the devotees love to cook there. And they cook outside, generally, where they have a wood fire, and they have the big pots outside. And they just love it. And the people love it, too. It's one of the most effective strategies for preaching Krishna consciousness, at least there, and also here. Like here you have your restaurants, too. So, other questions? Anyone else have questions? No? All right. Thank you very much.